Well, good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord together. As I was lighting the candles and praying for the Spirit to join us, I just got tickled at the life I heard behind me with y'all all getting, saying hello and greeting each other. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm glad I get to be here with you. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Psalm 125, verses 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken and endures forever. Brother Fred, would you like to open us in prayer this morning?
Father God, it's another Sunday morning that we come and honor your Son Jesus, Lord. Lord, we come with hearts of thanksgiving and praise for you. You are our God, our Creator. You are our all in all, Lord. Lord, we come humbly giving you thanks. Thanksgiving, Lord, for all the blessings that you have given us throughout our lives. Lord, but the greatest thanksgiving we have in our hearts is to praise you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, without him, as the song says, we could do nothing. But with Jesus, praise God, I'm free. Lord, may your Holy Spirit come in a mighty way this morning. May he come and rest upon each one of us, like the day of Pentecost, Lord. Lord, refill us this morning with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the courage. Help us have the urgency to share the gospel of Jesus with this world. Lord, we know you're coming soon. And Lord, the days are few. Lord God, go before us. Lead us and guide us. Lord, may everything we do today be for the honor and glory of the name of Jesus. And it's in his name, Lord, we pray all these prayers and make all requests to you today. Amen.
Well, our first hymn this morning is Standing on the Promises. And I was doing a word search and picked out a few verses that I want to read for us this morning. Joshua 21:45. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. 1 Kings 8:56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Y'all join me. Amen. We can praise the Lord because his promises are true, they're firm, and we can stand on them.
In the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, of God.
Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect rose and cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Y'all give Him a clap offering this morning that we have His promises and we can trust in His promises and His word. You may be seated. Well, for our announcements this morning, I'm going to take a moment just to say a personal thank you for last Sunday, for Ricky and Brother Fred putting that together and finding our speakers, for JR for sharing with us in word and in song. And I know you've heard this from people too, but that's not going to be your last.
Not your last rodeo.
You know, I enjoyed hearing from JR and Richard and of course our meal afterwards. So I just want to thank you all for being a part of that, for making it happen, for putting it together. And just looking forward to the next time the Lord does something like that. Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. our group meet at Jack's on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11. Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 p.m. at the Fellowship Hall, studying the Book of Daniel. On Sundays, we have our Sunday school meeting at 10 a.m. and our worship service here at 11 in the Worship Center. I will mention that we're continuing our 40-day focus on prayer, and I know Brother Fred will be talking about that. Let's be in prayer for the anointing and the outpouring of His Spirit, which is already here this morning. You know, there's lots on our prayer list, and there's lots of people in our country who are experiencing trying to put things back together after Helene has destroyed their homes, their communities, some of their families. So just be lifting them up in prayer, and be mindful. We have a lot of hurting people. Game night will be October 18th at 6:30 p.m. Coming up Saturday, October 19th, will be our Ladies Craft Day. But I guess if you're not a lady and you want to come anyway, we'll let you in the doors. Going to be making Christmas ornaments. It is a $5 cost to cover the materials that Cindy's providing. There's a sign-up sheet on the back, and if you have any questions, you can talk to Cindy. Collecting hygiene items for the Love Ladies Center for ladies who live there. Also collecting food items to be distributed to our food pantry participants. That is always on the third Monday of the month, and the collection box is in the back. And also, as Thanksgiving and Christmas are approaching quickly, just remember that we provide a Thanksgiving meal and a Christmas meal for these people as well. Okay. All right. Jane is saying we will have our fall festival on Saturday, the 26th, and there will be a lot more information coming out and meetings held and also. Just keep that in your prayers. Lift up the community outreach. Upper rooms are on the back information table for you to pick up and use as daily devotionals. Our announcements and prayer list go out via email on Fridays. If you are not getting those emails and would like to, you can send an email to clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. Give Cindy your email address. Leave a message on the answering machine. If you have any announcements or anything to add to the prayer list, you can just let Cindy know that as well, and we'll get that put on there. So today is Fred's last sermon on blessed assurance, unless the Lord gives him another one next week, and we just That's don't right. know it yet. In our hymnal, there's a reading, and it's many verses from many places, but they are scripture that I'm going to read to us this morning. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Amen. We have that assurance. So we're going to sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. How wonderful to be able to sing, This is My Story and This is My Song. So if you're willing and able, please stand with me. It's hymn number 442 in the hymnal.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, always at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, and I'm lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. May we praise our Savior all the day long. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning again. It's good to see all of you here. Good to have Barry here and his wife. Great to see Randy and back with us. And so good to see you walking well. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. God is so good to us. Sometimes things just happen, at least to me. I told the Wednesday night crowd about I was awakened in the middle of the night and felt like God wanted us to have a time of prayer. And as God just led me through that night and made some notes, you know, what I felt God was leading. Why don't we have a season of prayer? Why don't we have like 40 days of prayer? You know, 40 was a big number in the Bible. A lot of things happened in 40s. So, and plus, it was about exactly 40 days till the election. And I said, we need to be praying for that. We need to be praying that Christian people will be elected to office. Now, Christian people need to run for office, one thing, you know, but they'd be elected. But the most important thing is two words that I feel like God gave me directly. And one of those was anointing. And I was telling the group Wednesday night, as Methodists and back when I was a Baptist especially, you didn't talk about anointing because that was just for those strange people, you know? But no, we need an anointing today. We need to be anointed personally with the Holy Spirit, that He will take control of our lives, that He will lead and guide us in these last days to share the gospel of Jesus. We need an anointing as the church to go forth from this place to share the gospel with those that are lost in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our world. And our world needs an anointing from God. The other word, what was it, Cindy? Outpouring. Okay. She helped me Wednesday night. I forgot the second word. The outpouring. You know, I use the example of a kitchen sink. Now, you can put the stopper in the sink and fill the sink up, right? But our lives are more like a sink without a stopper. And we constantly need it to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need that outpouring from heaven on us and on our church and on our world. And then if it flows into us, then it ought to flow out of us. Amen? So these next 40 days, we got some activities we're going to plan. In fact, next Sunday. Oh, is it next Sunday? No, it's two Sundays from now. Next Sunday is going to be celebrating our salvation. This is kind of the last week of blessed assurance of our salvation. We're going to celebrate that assurance next Sunday. But two Sundays from today, my 99-year-old mother-in-law, she has a profound effect on me, and she comes up with the neatest things. And she was talking about somebody, and she said, they need to come to the foot of the cross, you know. Now, some of the old-timers, they use that expression. And I got to thinking, if we're going to have a time of prayer, maybe we as a church need to come to the foot of the cross. Oscar's going to get our cross back out. Remember the ones we nailed our sins to last Easter? And we're going to put some baskets down. And I'm going to ask you over these next 2 weeks to prayerfully consider what you want to pray for. And write those prayers down. And on that Sunday in 2 weeks, we're going to bring those prayers, those prayer requests, to the cross of Jesus. The one who can answer. The one who can deliver us. And we're going to have a time of prayer that day for all those prayer requests. So, be in prayer about that. Next week, I said, it's going to be Celebration Sunday, celebrating our salvation in Jesus Christ. Today, like we're on the last Sunday, or the last one of the evidences that I wanted to speak of. Remember, we've been using 1 John as our lesson. And out of 1 John, John has had tremendous things to say about what it takes to know that we are a Christian. How do I know that I'm saved? And today we're going to complete that series, The Evidences of the Assurance of Our Salvation. How do we know that we know that we know that we are born again? That we have an eternal life in heaven with Jesus? So far we've covered about 8 things. This is number 9. We found out that a true Christian would desire a relationship with Christ. A true Christian will confess any sin that happens to be in their life. A true Christian will be committed to God's Word. A true Christian will love other Christians. A true Christian will forsake the world. A true Christian will seek to understand the truth. Because it's going to set us free, right? A true Christian will practice righteousness and holiness in their lives. And last week, we found out that a true Christian will experience opposition from the world. Turn with me to chapter 3 of 1 John today. He said, Brother Fred, you spoke from that before. I did. But we're coming from a different angle today. Chapter 3, look at verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God the Father Almighty. Something's happened. Let me find out what's happened. I don't know what's happened. Oh, I haven't ever had that happen to me before. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for loving us, Lord. Lord, we come this morning realizing, again, I am nothing, Lord, without you. But with you, God, everything is possible. Lord, may the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, Lord, because you are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many blessings that we have because we accept Christ. At the moment of our salvation, the moment we're saved, I mean, first of all, our sins are forgiven, right? His Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. We have an assurance of where we're going to spend eternity. Another blessing that we have is the privilege extended to those who are born again children of God. It's the ability. Maybe you could use the word permission to go to God. It's a connection that's made. It's a right given to the children of God to come to the throne room of the Almighty God at any time, day or night, 24/7, 365? Not 265. Sometimes I have a hard time, you know, getting to the person I want to talk to when I use the phone. Usually, sometimes I get a recording telling me to press a certain number. You ever been there before? Do you know the extension of your party? No. There's always that notorious another number, you know? They're going to give you another number if you want to talk to what? Services? Or if you want to pay your bill, you get another number. Aren't you glad that God doesn't screen calls? Do I hear a hallelujah? No more stupid computer to deal with. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call upon me and I will answer." That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? "And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Isn't that wonderful to know? You and I, because of the blood that covers our sins, we have access to the very throne room of God. It's an instant process. Once we accept Jesus, that line's open. And it stays open for all eternity. Line's never busy. You'll never be put on hold. You don't have to leave a message. You don't ever get the wrong number. That number will never be out of order or out of service. Won't be any static on the line. You know why? Because God is His line. And it's perfect. How many of you today, that line's open to you? You know, I thought about it when this lady always, you know, they always want to know, leave a brief message about what you're calling about. You know, God don't ever tell me that. He just says, what you want, son? What you need, son? Isn't it wonderful to know that God is always listening? He's always there. Boy, that's a real blessing. A blessing beyond all measure. I may have to quit doing this because it looks like I'm not having any success with it. It's a bad thing about having technology, isn't it? When it goes out, it goes out. And I used to have little notes, you know, but my notes never did go out. I dropped them on the floor a few times, but it never went out. I'm going to try one more time to get this thing to working. There we go. Isn't that amazing? It's working again. Hallelujah. Now I got to find my place. In verse 19. It says that this we know. We are the truth. And He shall assure our hearts before Him. Folks, that's assurance. We know that we know when we can come to God in prayer. Now, unfortunately, not everyone can approach the throne room of God. You see, the lost don't have the privilege that we as believers have. They can say their prayers. They can read a prayer. They can even have a prayer book that they read from. They can repeat all the prayers they want to. But they cannot enter the throne room of God. This is a privilege only extended to a child of God. Were you aware that you had that privilege today? I don't know where these folks get, they think they can pray to God when they don't even know His area code, you know? You see, my Bible tells me there's only one prayer that a lost person can make. That's a prayer of repentance and acceptance of God's free gift in Jesus Christ. That's the only prayer that gets through to God. I guess you could think about it. In this sense, God has an unlisted number, or at least a private number, for those of us who are His children. He's blocked all the other folks. In Facebook terminology, He hasn't friended them yet. That number is only available to those of us who believe. He's given it to His children. And if you consistently, continuously, humbly come before that throne of God, you can have the assurance, I'm saved. If you sincerely pray, you can have that access that God gives only to His children. This morning, I'm a child of God and I'm proud of it. I'm thankful for it. I'm saved. And I know that I am. However, folks, if your prayer life is dead and empty, if you're denied access to God, that ought to cause you to question your salvation. Make you ask the question, am I saved? Have I been born again? Or what? Maybe what I have is fake. Maybe it's not true salvation. What are some reasons why God wants us to pray? In verse 20, John says, sometimes our heart condemns us. Ever been there before? God will use our conscience to show us that we're not right with Him. We talked a little bit about this before when we can't just go through sin. We just can't continue in our sin without, if you're a true Christian, without having the Holy Spirit convict you of that sin. And it's that conviction of our sin that brings us to our knees and makes us draw close to that throne room of God to have a little talk with Jesus, to get things right with Him. We too often, forget that God knows everything. We don't pray to Him to let Him know how things are. He knows, but He wants to hear from us. He knows your heart. And if God has burdened your heart over sin, that's a good thing. You said several weeks ago, that's one of the assurances of your salvation. But also, being burdened over that sin makes us go to the Lord in prayer, makes us fall on our knees, makes us come to the foot of the cross. This is an amazing truth that, like I said earlier, many of us forget or don't want to realize. That God knows everything about us. However, God loves you anyhow. He loves old Fred Grady anyhow. And folks, I know I'm just filthy rags standing before the holiness of God. But sometimes we don't realize our own spiritual condition. Sometimes we don't see the sin or the weaknesses in our lives. Sometimes we don't want to admit the failure in our Christian life. Sometimes we don't want to realize that we grieve the Holy Spirit with the way we live our lives. And if we're His, He's going to burden us. He's going to come into our conscious thinking. And your heart will be condemned. Well, what are you to do? Well, when your heart aches because of things aren't right, you go to Him in prayer. You go to Him to seek the peace in your life. You go to Him to seek the answers for your life. We go to Him in prayer. Because John says God is greater than our heart. Only He can make things right. And only He can bring back that peace in your heart. You know if your heart isn't right. You don't have to guess or wonder. You'll know it if you're a Christian. No one has to convince you. I don't, as your pastor, I don't need to try to convince you. I don't need to try to make you feel convicted of your sin. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, He does a good job, personal experience, of letting you know when you slip up. When we go to God and He gives us a clear conscience, what exactly is happening? Folks, verse 21 says God's going to give us an assurance that we're His. You're mine. I'm a child of God. You may have a guilty conscience when you bow down or when you go to your knees, but when you stand back up, there's no doubt whose you are. Because God gives you that assurance. He gives you the peace that you can't possibly get anywhere else but at His feet. When we have a clear and clean conscience, you're able to live in peace. You're able to have the joy of your salvation. You're able to love yourself and others. You're able to say like that soul, that song says that it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, so trials come, let this blessed assurance control. Oh, is it well with your soul today? Prayer will give you that assurance. Now, what happens when things aren't well with your soul? Verse 22. There are two things John mentions there that causes us to have a guilty conscience. It's because, number one, we don't keep His commandments. We don't do what He says we should do. A tragedy, so many pew sitters in our churches have never read their Bible, so they don't know what those commandments are. But that's one of the reasons we have a guilty conscience, because we do not keep those statutes, those commands of God. And the other reason, John tells us, that we do things that don't please God. That's the overt sin in our lives. Those things we consciously do, knowing that we shouldn't, but we go right ahead and do them. What happens when we have the assurance? What happens when we obey His commandments? What happens when we live a righteous answer? We receive blessings from God because we are living in the center of His will. And when we live in the center of His will, our prayers also should be in the center of His will. And what we ask of Him shouldn't be us. It should be Him. It should be in the center of His will. When you're not living in the center of His will, how then can your prayers be in the center of His will? Found out years ago when I was a child that my parents were much more willing to give me what I wanted, what I asked, when I obeyed them. What about yours? Also, when I lived according to my parents' will, what they wanted for me. I know I didn't have a guilty conscience then. If I saw them walking down the road or coming up to me, I wasn't ashamed or didn't feel any guilt because I knew I was in their will. I was doing the things that made them proud of me. And I knew if I was in the center of their will, I could come to them anytime, day or night, and they'd listen to me. They'd take me into their arms and comfort me for whatever was wrong. However, when I was disobedient, when I disappointed them, a lot of things happened. Mother had an old belt, and I became real familiar with that belt. Now, God don't have a belt, but He has other things, other ways that He can come after us, don't He? One thing is, like I said, we feel guilty. When we go against God, when we commit sin, we're going to feel guilty if you're one of His. I know when I went against my parents, I'd try to avoid them as much as I could. I stayed in the barn. Oh, those chickens and had to be fed so much. I had to go out in the woods and do things, you know. Any excuse to get stay away from home. Folks, the same is true of our relationship with God. When we're in the wrong, we tend to avoid thing. According to His will, He hears us. That's great, isn't it? And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's pretty strong, isn't it? If I'm in His will, if I'm doing the things that I should do, if I'm in a right relationship with God, He's going to answer my prayers. Pastor, I hear this so often. God just didn't answer my prayers. Why isn't He answering my prayers, Pastor? I want to tell them you need to have a check, a checkup. You ever gone to the Word for a checkup before? You see, the key to answered prayer is living in the will of God. And where do you find the will of God? In these pages of this book. And prayers are going to be answered when you are living in the will of this book. And when you pray in God's will. Obeying Him. Pleasing Him. You'll be amazed at how, oh, Pastor, my prayers are being answered. Duh. What are two of the commands that John gives us here that we need to obey? You've heard them before. He says, first, believe on Jesus. That's a command. Jesus said it Himself. You know, believe in Me and you'll have eternal life. Believe in Me and you'll have the peace that passes all understanding. But Jesus also said, and John is saying it as well here, you need to love one another. You see, we can't live in the will of God if we don't love each other. We said in week 4 one of the assurances of our salvation is we love other Christians. You see, we need to get back to the basis. Believing on Jesus, loving one another, pleasing God. Folks, you can live a moral, ethical, you can be kind and gentle, loving, sensitive, respected in the community. But if you've never trusted in Jesus for your salvation, you can't please God. No matter how good you are. The rich young ruler found that out, didn't he, when he came to Jesus? Many of you may have heard recently the Pope has said that there's many paths to God. Folks, that is such a lie. There's only one path to God. There's only one path to salvation. There's only one path to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ, His Son. Luke said in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you obey this commandment, if you love others, your prayers will be answered. Jesus said in Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving one another. We are to love others and love God. See, God loved us first. He's just asking for a little love in return. Now, He loves us more than anything in this world. If you want your prayers answered, if you want to live in the will of God, love Jesus and love others. Now, there are people in this world that are unlovely. But God says, love them anyway. My granddad called those women that were bitter and cruel and hateful and mean-spirited, he called them old biddies. He called the men that acted that way old grouches. You know the type. But if we really obey God, we're going to love them too. We're going to please God. We're going to love others. We're not going to pick and choose who we love. Do you feel that kind of love for others today? Do you feel that you are able to have access to the throne room of God? If you don't, trust Jesus today and you'll have access. You see, unbelievers, like I said earlier, don't have access. You need to be able to feel at home with Jesus, who lives in you through the power of His Holy Spirit. These past 9 weeks, we've seen how we can have the assurance of our salvation. Like I said, from the very beginning, it's not based on past experience. It's based on present evidences in your life. I hope that through these weeks, you've been taking a spiritual inventory of yourself. I know I have. Prayers for you. and wants you to be the best you that you can be. But if you don't have that assurance today, if through these weeks you said, Pastor, I'm not certain, well, you need to come today to this altar when we have the invitation today and accept Christ as your Savior. Jesus is coming back, I believe soon, and you need to be right with Him, so that you can have the assurance, I'm saved, and I know that I am. And it will be a blessed assurance. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we're observing Holy Communion. The bread and the fruit of the vine that Jesus chose to bless and to give us as a reminder of what He did for us. And He says, every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you show my death until I come again. This morning, we honor Jesus with the eating of His precious bread, which represents the body that He gave for you and me. We drink of this cup, which represents the blood that He shed for your sin and my sin. Come join us this morning as we celebrate this Holy Communion. He took the bread and broke it, said a prayer, gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat of this. This is my body given for you. He took the cup, blessed it as well, told them to drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant that He brought so that we may have life and have it abundantly. Come now and join me in the altar here as we celebrate this Holy Supper. And we'll try to get everybody up here if you don't mind. We'll start over here on this side, and if these will come over here, and those you'll gather around on that side. We'll come and praise our Savior, Jesus Christ, for what He's done for us. Wait till I get over here.
This is the cup that holds the blood of the new.
Y'all get a little closer, my arm's not that long.
This is the way that I have made.
Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. I'll just come on this side. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. I like touching this with my hand, but I guess I'll do that. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
This is the cup that holds the wine.
The body of Christ given for you.
The new covenant.
The body of Christ given for you.
The love of Christ poured out anew.
The body of Christ given for you.
This is the Son of God who died.
body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Take a long look inside.
The body of Christ given for you.
Tell me what you see.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ given for you.
The cross that you.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
This is the cup that holds the blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you.
Body of Christ given for you.
I am the way. This is the way that I have made for you.
Let's sing together. What a friend we have in Jesus. All to sin, sin peace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we cannot carry everything to God in prayer. Bow your heads with me. Father, we come this morning remembering your Son Jesus and all that he did for us, for our salvation, that through his blood our sins are washed away because he gave himself for us, the perfect sacrifice. Lord, we love you today. And we look forward to the day when you will come in the skies and call us home to be with you. All glory and honor be yours forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Reach and hug somebody today. We're supposed to love each other, right? Give somebody a hug.